All right, we're going to depart from James tonight because we're going to do that Sunday. We're in Psalms chapter 64. Psalm 64. And the Psalms, I want to do this one day. The book is organized, it's divided into five parts, the 150 Psalms, and this is the song book. It's the song book of Israel. The way it's divided, it's whoever organized the book, the Lord puts these things together, but the person or people that put these Psalms in this order, they're not in chronological order, but they're in an order that tells the story of the Messiah, the hope, the future, glory, and so it's really neat. It's neat the way it's put together, and there's more details in that you can fill in, but just really, really cool how it's put together. Psalm 64. This is a psalm of David. Real simple outline tonight. And it's these psalms are, they're songs and they're prayers. So they're both of those things. And this is, David wrote a lot of these. My understanding of it is this is a time when David is being hunted by his own son, Absalom, and he's been driven out of Jerusalem, and he's essentially in the wilderness. And a lot of the people some of the influential people that were his friends have now joined Absalom, and they're giving Absalom advice on how to kill David. Ahithophel's one of them, the main one, really. But David has been—he's in exile, essentially. He's in the wilderness. Even though he's the real king, this coup by his own son, and then his own son trying to hunt him down and kill him—it's just a terribly dysfunctional family situation. And so David, in that time, writes this psalm down. And I don't know if the whole thing's written at one time. Sometimes I read these psalms and I think he writes part of it, and then at the end of the psalm is the answer. It's like, you may record your prayer requests, and then some folks go as far as they'll have a journal of prayer requests and then have, the answers to the prayers. And so sometimes I read the psalms and I think this psalm was put together like that. He had these concerns at the beginning, and then at the end of this whole episode, the Lord answered the prayer. He records the answer. And so this psalm, it's 10 verses here, and three simple points about prayer. And I need to hear this. I'll say that because I think my prayer life, it is, things like this go up and down. You have good times and bad times and slow times and stuff like that, and it seems like as of late, like there's a time when you pray, or there was, I remember there's a couple times last year, it's like pray and then the same day things are getting addressed, that you prayed about in the morning, and then there's like a dry spell or something, you pray, it's like nothing's happening. It's like, what's going on? And so it kind of gets a little bit discouraging, but prayer, it's not just saying prayers, it's actually getting a hold of God, and you're trying to invite the Lord's intervention into something in your life. Because the Lord, I think one of the misconceptions we have about the Lord is that He's just going to be always involved and always, you know, addressing everything in our lives. But prayer, one of the things about prayer is it helps explain the relationship you and the Lord have, that prayer is a way to invite Him into what you're doing. And so this is what David says in Psalm 64. I'll read this psalm. And it's 3 points, the way I've broken it down. Hear me, hide me, help me. That's David's points in this. But let's read this, Psalm 64. David says, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword, bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. They may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They just don't have any regard for their secret plans and how they're discussing David. Verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. So this is David's prayer. The Lord answers the prayer. If you read 2 Samuel 15, the Lord answers this prayer, and David records that here. But let's pray, and let's deal with this prayer. Just some few thoughts here about prayer and about seeking the Lord's help in our lives. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you again for each soul that's here this evening. I do lift up Mary Beth to you, pray that she would feel better. And I pray that get Shirley home safe and give her a good time with her sister. I pray you'd help us through this little psalm. Help us not only understand what we're reading, but give us some encouragement about our own prayer lives and our own petitions, really, before you. I pray that you'd help us with these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so this is setting. David is on the run. And his son, which is just a terrible, dysfunctional thought, that his son is the one that's trying to hunt him down. His son has essentially taken over Jerusalem and gathered a good army together to fight against David and to defend Absalom's position in Jerusalem. And among those people that Absalom's gathered are some of David's friends, some of his very good friends, actually. And so this is just a heartbreaking situation for David. And the first thing he says in this prayer that he's recorded here is, Lord, hear me. I want you to hear me. I need you to hear me. And some thoughts about this. I think sometimes in our understanding of the Lord, we may be a little bit presumptuous to think that He's obligated to hear everything we say. that he's obligated to listen to everything that we request of him. And sometimes we try to encourage ourselves in that, you know, that yeah, he's listening. You read through the Bible and the Lord puts some qualifications on who he listens to. For instance, he'll say things like, Isaiah would say something like, if I regard iniquity in my heart, maybe David says it, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So he's not obligated to listen to double-minded people. He's not obligated to listen to people that, and he said it as much. I'm just not going to listen to people who approach my throne with sin in their heart. I'm not going to listen to somebody who doesn't come with some pure motives and some serious a serious request about needing help and needing help from me. And so this idea that David says, you know, hear my voice, hear me. David understands that God's not obligated to listen. But David's conducted himself in such a way, if you go through 2 Samuel, read how he conducts himself through this whole thing. He conducts himself in such a way that he would be somebody that God would listen to. That the Lord would pay attention to his cries and his prayers and his petitions. There's a couple of places in the Bible where the Lord talks about the things that he's seeking are the hearts of men and a broken and contrite spirit. That's what he wants to draw out. That's what he wants to approach him. And so David, his prayer request really is to preserve his life and this fear of the enemy. And he wants God to hear him. And he wants God to intervene. And you'll find in life that personally, but even you read through the Bible and you find that life is not God's micromanaging events. There's a lot of things that are just people's own self-will and people's own decisions and things like that. And periodically, the Lord gets invited to do something in someone's life, and he'll do it periodically. I think about Esther, you know, in that whole situation with Esther and Haman, and Haman wants to kill all the Jews. And then Esther, who's the queen, happens to be a Jew, but Haman doesn't know that. And so Esther makes the request and tells Mordecai, which is her cousin, to pray and get the people to pray and give me some open door to talk to the king and try to reverse this thing. And so they pray and they fast for 3 days, and then Esther has this open door and she talks to the king, and he successfully reverses this, or at least arms the people so they can defend themselves. And all of that happens because people prayed and God listened. That didn't just happen because that's what was going to happen. And I think in retrospect and hindsight, you read these things as though this is what was going to happen because that's what happened. And that's not always the case. What happened is God intervened, and that changed the momentum, and that changed what was going to happen. And it's the same in our own lives. You know, when we take these prayer requests, like we'll take some prayer requests tonight, what we're asking is for the Lord to intervene in people's lives and our lives so that he can change some course of events, something that we would like to see changed, or reverse something or start something, and we want to see him intervene in some real meaningful way so that our lives are changed, or somebody else's life is changed because of his intervention. And so David says, that's the first point. I mean, hear me. And you and I need to understand, God is not obligated to listen. He gives us some qualifications, and he says, these are the type of people, and this is the type of character I listen to. If you come at me with empty hands and there's no ulterior motives and there's no sin in your heart and you come to me and you need help, I will listen to that. But if you come to me with iniquity in your heart, I'm not listening. And David understands that. David understands that. In fact, I think it is a couple of places, maybe a couple of Psalms later. Yeah, actually it is. You know what? It is. Look in Psalm 66, 18. Just two chapters over. We can look at this because it's so close here. But in Psalm 66, 18, this is the verse I was telling you about. It was David that said it. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So that is a hard line the Lord draws in people approaching him in prayer. And so David, going back to Psalm 64, David says, hear me, Lord. Lord, I need you to hear me. And he's conducted his life in such a way that the Lord would hear him, and he does hear him. And then he says this, verse 2, Psalm 64, verse 2, and really verses 2 through 6 is another chunk here of a thought. He says, hide me. Hide him from what? Hide him from secret counsel. So as David has been flushed out of Jerusalem, on the run, Absalom has been gathering these counselors around about how to hunt David down, how to kill David, how to successfully perform this coup and this takeover of the nation. And so you'll notice all of these things are outside of David's control. He can't do anything about people talking behind his back. He can't do anything about people scheming behind his back. He can't do anything to stop them from talking against him and trying to figure out how to kill him. And so he says, verse 2, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. That's what they're doing. They're committing insurrections like treason. Who whet their tongue like a sword. That's one of those illustrations all through the Bible. The word of God is like a sword, and people's mouths are like swords. They use them to hurt each other. They wet their tongue like a sword. Wet is like sharpen it. It's like they're just preparing their mouths to communicate in a evil way about David and plot and scheme how to get rid of David. Verse 3, who wet their tongue like a sword, bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words. So that's the arrows. The arrows are bitter words. That they may shoot in secret at the perfect. So there, it's like gossiping. It's this council that's kind of clandestine, kind of secret, and they're plotting and scheming about how to get rid of David. Verse 5, they encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. You know, how are we going to set him up? How can we flush him out of where he is? They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. So they're brainstorming about evil things. How can we hurt this man? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. So this is what they're brainstorming about. So David says, the second thing is, after hear me, he says, hide me. I need protection. There's nothing I can do about what they're saying. I can't stop their mouths. I can't stop them from plotting and scheming. I can't intervene in any way with this. And Lord, I just need you to hide me from this council. They're trying to find me out. They're trying to flush me out. They're trying to get me out in the open so they can kill me, and I need you to hide me. And so David, he describes what they're doing against him, and he has no control over this. So he just has to trust the Lord to intervene, to hide him from all of these plans and all of these things. And, you know, you'll find that stuff goes on probably you've had it done to you in some ways with other people, where the things that are being done against you, there's nothing you can do about it. You just can't. You can't fight it. You can't avert it. I mean, you can't stop it. You can't defend against it. You just have to. The Lord just has to protect you from it. He just has to keep you in a hidden place so that these things that they imagine won't happen. And so he says, hide me. They've got slanders. You see slanderous stuff in here. I mean, it's just the accusations against David. I mean, it's incredible. We could go on and on about probably what was said about David. And you know how this stuff goes. You know, people who hate other people, man, they're willing to... You know, lying is off limits for the most part, unless you hate the person. And then you can say whatever you want to about him. And then it doesn't matter. And then this is what David's up against. This is what David's up against here. He says, hide me, Lord. I can't defend myself against this. Hide me. Hear me. Hide me. This is something probably you and I would find useful in some point in our lives. Hear me, hide me. I can't do anything against this. Just protect me. And then he says this at the end here, verses 7 through 10. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. Now he's going to help me, Lord. Just help me. And the Lord's going to help. So he's going to get involved in this. And he's going to turn the council kind of against itself. They shall make, verse 8, they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Kind of like what happened to Haman. He decides he wants to build some gallows to hang Mordecai. And before the story's over, Haman's hung on the gallows he built. And this is what happens with David and his enemies. Some of his enemies that were good friends before all this happened, they counsel Absalom, and their counsel's turned on its head, and some of them end up, one of them ends up in a suicide. It's just, it's a mess. But the Lord turns the council against them. So all this evil they're talking comes back to bite them. Well, you just have to be careful how you plot and scheme against people, because things may not end the way you want them to end, and this is what happens with these kinds of things. When the Lord intervenes, the outcome that the evil people want in David's life, actually, it doesn't end at all the way they think it's going to end. They think they're going to hunt down David and Absalom's going to be king. That's not how it happens. Lots of the people around Absalom end up fleeing. Some of them die. Absalom ends up hung in a tree. I mean, it's just, this isn't the way we pictured this thing ending at all. But this is what happens when the Lord gets involved among evil people. And this is what happens in David's life. He seeks God's help. The Lord answers by, you know, quote unquote, firing a shot here into the camp of the wicked. And all of their communication turns on its head. Verse 9, all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. So there's some people watching this, and the Lord is trying to get glory out of this whole thing. I mean, he's trying to get glory out of David's life. He wants David on the throne and all of that. And so his intervention is going to be bad for a lot of people, unfortunately. But they're on the wrong side of God. And so when the Lord intervenes, he's going to end up getting glory for this. Verse 9, all men shall fear, shall declare the work of God. So God's help has been noticed. It's evident that God's intervened on David's behalf. And that's what he's asking for. So the results of the Lord's answer, when trouble enters into the wicked, they begin fighting each other. And at the end of this, all men fear and declare the work of God. They're going to say, God is on David's side here. He clearly defended David and overthrew this whole wicked insurrection. And so this is what people watch. Verse 10, the righteous shall be glad in the Lord. That's one side of it. The righteous would be glad, but the wicked probably aren't glad. Not at what the Lord's done in their lives. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him. And all the upright in heart shall glory. So the righteous glad in the Lord, they trust Him as a result. They trust Him more as a result. And they glory in the Lord's work and intervention. And so through this whole, it's a short psalm, but through this psalm, you've got three simple elements of prayer. David says, hear me, Lord, hide me, help me. That's what I need. And it's a good model. It's a good model for prayer, particularly you're in some situation that requires the Lord's intervention like this. Yeah, this is a good model. Your responsibility, my responsibility, first of all, be the type of people that God would hear. Be the type of people God would hear. And then you do right while God works this thing out. You just do right while God works this thing out. And you rely on His work in this. Because again, there's nothing David can do in it. And so we sit back and we watch God do the work. David doesn't fire a shot. He just seeks the Lord. And the Lord turns the evil communication against itself. And before you know it, David has a victory that he hasn't even had to fight for. He just sought the Lord's intervention and the Lord intervened. And this is what happened. So help me, Lord. This is David's prayer. Help me, Lord. And he does. It's a good model. Hear me, hide me, help me. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for recording these prayers, these songs, and your words. We need to see how you've intervened and how you've fought on other people's behalves who were faithful, and be encouraged by it, like it says at the end of the psalm, the righteous shall be glad in it. I pray that you would encourage us in our own prayers, to, if we're not praying, that we would start, and if we are, that we would pray in such a way as to get a hold of you, to intervene in our lives. And we would be the people that you would want to hear and listen to. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.